A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me see. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I don't think there's much risk in my saying that these verses from chapter 3 of John's Gospel are not ones you could recite from memory. God so loved the world. These words you know. But this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. These verses, not so much. They are important, though. They're no less the teaching of Jesus, no less the word of the Lord than verse 16 is. And they're absolutely applicable to you and to me. There isn't any wiggle room in the assertion, everyone who does wicked things hates the light. The only way to be free of that judgment is never, ever to have done any wicked things. But if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. To deny that you have done, that you do wicked things, when you have and you do, is wicked. These words apply to you and condemn you. If you aren't convinced, the text provides another route that leads to the same destination. Would it be okay with you if your life was an open book? Would you be happy to have the people around you know everything that you've ever said or thought or done? Or are there perhaps some things you'd like to keep buried? Buried so deep that they never ever see the light of day, that no one ever knows about them. Jesus says, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. If exposure is something that you fear, If you have secrets that you are ashamed of, things you've said or done you'd be mortified to have revealed, that would make you afraid to show your face in public. That's evidence of your love of the darkness rather than the light. Your desire to avoid exposure condemns you as having done wicked things. Clearly, Jesus' words here apply to you and to me. We are people who have loved darkness rather than the light, rather than Jesus, because our deeds have been evil. The fact that we do wicked things causes us to hate the light. We are more than reluctant to come to the light. We fear it because it will expose our deeds. Your evil deeds and the wicked things you've done have incurred God's righteous judgment of condemnation. This is a word of God that stops every mouth and holds you and me and everyone else in the world, the whole world, accountable to God. It is a sad truth. It is a terrifying truth. But it is the truth. And it is also the context for the rest of what Jesus says in today's gospel reading from John 3. It's true that you have earned God's wrath and deserve nothing but punishment from Him, now in this life and forever in eternity. But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. These words come like a refreshing, life-giving drink of water to one who is thoroughly parched, indeed dying from dehydration. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's what the world had earned. It's what the world deserved. But it isn't how God responded to the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to be condemned for the world. He who knew no sin, who never once did even a single thing that was evil or wicked, didn't ever even think a wicked thought, He was made to be sin for your sake, so that in Him you might become the righteousness of God. Far from being sent into the world to condemn the world, the whole purpose of God in sending Jesus into the world was so that the world might be saved through Him. That's what Jesus reveals in this most memorable and precious verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. From the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, there hadn't been a single person, not even one, who hadn't likewise rebelled against God, broken His law, and responded to His love with ingratitude and resentment. But God loved the world nonetheless, loved every person in the world, despite their lovelessness toward Him. And He showed His love for them, His love for you in this way. He gave His only Son. We're familiar with the saying, actions speak louder than words. That has never been more true than in God's giving of His Son. For this giving of His Son is not just God sending Him to earth as a human being, the Son of the Virgin Mary. It is His giving His only Son to die, providing Him as the necessary sacrifice the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, takes it away by his innocent suffering and by his death on the cross, takes it away by thus satisfying divine justice and quenching God's wrath that was righteous against us. God loved the world in this way. He gave his only Son into death, into the excruciating death of a cross, so that no person in the history of the world need perish, but rather that all could have eternal life. And because Jesus says that God gave his Son for the world, you can be certain that God gave his Son for you. No one is excluded. The Father's gift of Jesus is for everyone. He wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth of their sin and the truth of his mercy and grace toward them for Jesus' sake. There is no need for you to perish in your sin. No need for anyone to perish in their sin. The full price of redemption has been paid. The sufficient sacrifice has been made. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the point of whoever believes in him. Believing in him isn't mere acknowledgement that there was a Jesus who was born in Bethlehem and lived in Nazareth some 2,000 years ago. It's not even believing that Jesus is God and man who died on a cross and rose again 3 days later. Believing in Jesus is trusting that he is indeed the propitiation for your sins. The one who by his sacrifice on the cross has reconciled the Father to you, won for you forgiveness, earned for you a place in the Father's good graces. To believe in Jesus is to believe that because of him, you have pardon and peace with God. Believe that you will not die, but live, and declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his glorious light. Believe in Jesus is to depend on him for your status with God, for free forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. That is what Jesus was getting at when he compared himself to the bronze servant Moses had fashioned and lifted up on a pole in the wilderness. Back then, the rebellious Israelites who were dying from the venom of the fiery serpents could look in faith at the bronze serpent lifted up and live. Now, it was necessary for Jesus to be lifted up. And by saying lifted up, Jesus was showing what kind of death he was going to die. It was necessary for Jesus to be lifted up on a cross that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Though the ancient serpent, Satan, by his lies to Eve and to you and to me, has injected the deadly venom of doubt and disobedience into our bodies, just like those ancient Israelites, you have only one hope, only one escape from death, the remedy provided by the Lord. As you look in faith to the one who was lifted up on a cross, God's Son, as you look to him, the serpent's toxin is rendered harmless. Though your deeds have been evil, and you have done wicked things, for the sake of his Son whom he gave for you, God's judgment on you is not condemnation. Believing in the name of the only Son of God, depending on his righteous life for you, and his innocent suffering and death in your place, you will not perish. You have eternal life. Now, baptized into his name, absolved by his command, sustained in his word, receiving his true body and blood in and with the bread and wine of his supper, he strengthens you to live in the light, to will and to work for his good purposes. And when you fail and fall, he forgives you again and restores you. For you are his. Christ has saved you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.